girl or another girl. If he's got the money, he stays all night, splitting his cash between the girls and Noisy and the bar in the kitchen. If he spends himself broke and has been a good customer, well-behaved, as well as free with his money, I stake him to bed and breakfast on credit and urge him to come back. If he's alive next payday, he's sure to be back. If not, all the house is out is the wholesale cost of one breakfast. Nothing compared to what he spent. Cheap Goodwill advertising. A month of that, and both the house and the girls have made much more money, and the girls haven't worked much harder, as they have spent part of their time drinking pay-me drinks. Colored water, half the price to the house, half to the girls. While they help a John listen to Noisy's nostalgic songs. Shucks. A girl doesn't want to work like a treadmill, even if she usually enjoys her work as many of them did. But they never got tired of sitting and listening to Noisy songs. I quit playing the pianette, except maybe while Noisy ate. Technically, I was a better musician, but he had that undefinable quality that sells a song. He could make them cry or laugh. He had a thousand of them. One he called The Born Loser. Not much of a tune. Just, ta-ta, poom-poom, ta-ta, poom-poom, ta-ta, ta-ta, poom-poom. About a bloke who can never quite make it. There's a beer joint by the pool hall for to pass some pleasant hours. There's a hook shop above the pool hall, where my sister makes her living. She's a good sport. I can spring her for a fin or even a sawbuck. When not holding or the horses have been running rather slowly. Like that, folks, but, more of it. Lazarus, said Ira. You have been humming or singing that song every day you've been here. All of it. A dozen verses or more. Really, Ira? I do hum and sing, I know that. But I don't hear it myself. It's like the purring of a cat, it just means that I'm functioning okay. Bored all green, operating at normal cruising. It means that I feel secure, relaxed, and happy, and come to think of it, I do. But The Born Loser doesn't have a mere dozen verses, it has hundreds. What I sang was only a snatch of what Noisy used to sing. He was always fiddling with the song, changing it, adding to it. I don't think this one started out as his. I seem to remember a song about a character whose overcoat was usually in hock clear back when I was very young and raising my first family on Earth. But that song belonged to Noisy when he got through filing off serial numbers and changing the body lines. I heard it again. Oh, must have been 20, 25 years later. In a cabaret in Luna City. From Noisy. But he had changed it. Fixed up the scansion. Given it a proper rhyme scheme. Dolled it up the tune. But the tune was still recognizable. In a minor key. Wistful rather than sad. And the words were still about this third-rate grifter whose top coat was always in hock and who sponged off his sister. And he had changed, too. A shiny new instrument, a tailored spaceman's uniform, gray hair at the temples, and star billing. I paid a waiter to tell him that Happy Days was in the audience. Not my name then, but the only name Noisy had for me. And after his first group, he came over and let me buy him a drink while we swapped lies and talked about our happy days at dear old Hormone Hall. I didn't mention to him that he had left us rather abruptly and that the girls had gone into a decline over it, worrying that he might be dead in a ditch. Didn't mention it because he did not. But I had had to investigate his disappearance because my staff was so demoralized by it that the place felt like a morgue. No way for a parlor house to be. I was able to establish that he had gone aboard the Gyre Falcon when she was about to lift for Luna City and had not left her. So I told the girls that Noisy had had a sudden opportunity to go home again, but had left a message with the port captain for each of them, then added more lies to personalize the goodbye he hadn't made. It perked him up and lifted the gloom. I still missed him, but they all understood that grabbing a ride home was not something he could postpone. And since he had remembered to send a message to each of them, they felt appreciated. But it turned out that he did remember them, mentioned each by name. Minerva, dear, here is the difference between a blinded flesh and blood and one who has never been able to see. Noisy could see a rainbow any time he cared to, by memory. He never stopped seeing, but what he saw was always beauty. I had realized that some, back when we were on Mars together, for, don't laugh, he thought I was as pretty as you are, Galahad. Told me that he could tell what I looked like from my voice and describe me to me. I had the grace to say that he flattered me, but let it lie when he answered that I was too modest. Even though I'm not handsome now, and wasn't then, and modesty has never been one of my vices. But Noisy thought all the girls were beautiful, too. And in one case, this may have been true, and certainly several of them were pretty. But he asked me what had become of Olga, and added, golly, what a little beauty she was. Oh, kinfolk, Olga wasn't even homely. She was ugly. Face like a mud pie. Figure like a gunny sack. Only on an outpost like Mars could she get by. What she did have was a warm and gentle voice and a sweet personality, which was enough, as a customer might pick her through Hobson's Choice on a busy night. But once he had done so, he picked her some later time on purpose. Mean to say, dears, beauty will lure a man into bed, but it won't bring him back a second time, unless he's awfully young or very stupid.
What does bring him back a second time, Grandfather? Asked Hamadryad. Technique? Muscular control?
Have you had any complaints, dear?
Well, no.
Then you know the answer, and you're trifling with me. Neither of those. It's the ability to make a man happy, principally, by being happy about it yourself. A spiritual quality rather than a physical one. Olga had it in gobs. I told Noisy that Olga had married shortly after he left, happily so, and had three children last I heard. Which was not a lie, as she'd been killed accidentally, and the girls bawled about it, and I didn't feel good myself, and we had shut the place down for 4 days. But I couldn't tell Noisy that. Olga had been one of the first to mother him, had helped bathe him, and had stolen some of my clothes for him while I slept. But they all mothered him, and never fought over him. I have not deviated from our subject in this rambling account of Noisy. We're still defining love. Anybody want to take a whack at it now?
Galahad said, Noisy loved every one of them. That's what you've been saying.
No, son. He didn't love any of them. Fond of them, yes. But he left them without looking back.
Then you are saying that they loved him?
Correct. Once you figure out the difference between what he felt toward them and what they felt toward him, we're almost home.
Mother love, said Ira, and added gruffly, Lazarus, are you trying to tell us that mother love is the only love there is? Man, you're out of your mind.
Probably, but not that far out.
I said they mothered him. I did not say a word about mother love. He bedded all of them.
Wouldn't be surprised, Ira. I never tried to find out. Irrelevant, in any case.
Hamadryad said to her father, Ira, mother love can't be what we're trying to define. It is often only a sense of duty. Two of my brats, I was tempted to drown, as you may have guessed, seeing what little demons they were.
Daughter, all your offspring were charming children.
Oh, Fuff! One has to give a baby mothering no matter what, or it will grow up to be a still worse monster. What did you think of my son Gordon as a baby?
A delightful child.
Really? I'll tell him that. If I ever have a male child I name Gordon. Sorry, old darling, I shouldn't have trapped you. Lazarus, Ira is a perfect grandfather, one who never forgets a birthday. But I've suspected that Minerva kept track of such things for him, and now I know it. Right, Minerva?
Minerva did not answer. Lazarus said,
She's not working for you, Hamadryad.
Ira said sharply,
Of course Minerva keeps track of such things for me. Minerva, how many grandchildren do I have?
127, Ira, counting the boy child to be born next week.
How many great-grandchildren? And who is having the boy?
403, sir. Your son Gordon's current wife, Marion.
Keep me posted on it. That was the baby Gordon I was thinking of, Miss Smarty. Gordon's son, Gordon. By Evelyn Hedrick, I think. Lazarus, I deceived you. The truth is that I am migrating because my descendants are crowding me off this globe.
Father, are you really going to? Not just talking?
Still top secret until after the decennial trustees meeting, dear. But I am. Want to come along? Galahad and Ishtar have decided to go. They'll set up a rejuve shop for the colony. You'll have 5 to 10 years in which to learn something useful.
Grandfather, are you going?
Unlikely to the nth degree, my dear. I've seen a colony.
You may change your mind.
Hamadryad stood up, faced Lazarus.
I propose to you, in the presence of 3 witnesses, 4,
Minerva is the best possible witness,
a contract for cohabitation and progeny, termed to be selected by you.
Ishtar looked startled, then wiped all expression from her face. The others said nothing. Lazarus answered,
Granddaughter, if I weren't so old and tired, I would spank you.
Lazarus, I am your granddaughter only by courtesy. You are less than 8% of my total ancestry. Less than that in terms of dominant genes, with a vanishingly small probability of unfavorable reinforcement. The bad recessives have been weeded. I'll send my genetic pattern over for your inspection.
That's not the point, dear.
Lazarus, I'm certain you've married your descendants in the past. Is there some reason to discriminate against me? If you'll tell me, perhaps I can correct it. I must add that this submittal is not contingent on your migrating.
Hamadryad added,
or it could be for progeny only, although I would be proud and happy to be permitted to live with you.
Why, Hamadryad?
She hesitated.
I am at a loss to answer, sir. I had thought that I could say, I love you, but apparently I do not know what that word means. So I have no word in either language to describe my need, and went ahead without one.
Lazarus said gently,
I love you, dear.
Hamadryad's face lit up. He continued,
and for that very reason I must refuse you.
Lazarus looked around him.
I love all of you. Ishtar, Galahad, even that ugly, surly father of yours, dear, sitting there and looking worried. Now smile, dear, for I'm certain that there are endless young bucks anxious to marry you. You smile too, Ishtar, but not you, Ira. It would crack your face. Ishtar, who is relieving you in Galahad? No, I don't care who's scheduled. May I be alone the rest of the day?
She hesitated. Grandfather, may I keep the observation station manned?
You will anyhow. But will you limit them to dials and gauges, or whatever it is you use? No eye or ear on me? Minerva will tell you if I misbehave. I'm certain of that.
There will be neither eye nor ear on you, sir. Ishtar stood up. Come along, Galahad. Hamadryad.
Just a moment, Ish. Lazarus, have I offended you?
What? Not at all, my dear.
I thought you were angry with me over what I proposed.
Oh, nonsense, Emma darling. That sort of proposal never offends anyone. It is the highest compliment one human can pay another. But it did confuse me. Now, smile, and kiss me goodnight, and come see me tomorrow if you wish. All you kids kiss me goodnight. There's nobody sore at anybody. Ira, you might stick around a bit if you will.
Like docile children, they did so. Then went into Lazarus' penthouse and took transport down. Lazarus said,
A drink, Ira?
Only if you are having one.
We'll skip it, then. Ira, did you put her up to it?
Eh?
You know what I mean. Hamadryad.
First Ishtar, now Hamadryad. You've manipulated this whole deal from the moment you snatched me out of that flophouse where I was dying decently and quietly. Have you...
again been trying to tie me down to whatever scheme you have in the back of your mind by waving pretty tails under my nose? It won't work, man. Tie me down to whatever scheme you have in the back of your mind by waving pretty tails under my nose? It won't work, man.
The chairman pro tem answered quietly. I could deny that. And for the 100th time, have you called me a liar? I suggest that you ask Minerva.
I wonder if that would be any assurance. Minerva?
Yes, Lazarus.
Did Ira rig this with either of the girls?
Not to my knowledge, Lazarus.
Is that an evasion, dear?
Lazarus, I cannot lie to you.
Well, I think you could if Ira wanted you to, but there is no point in my inquiring into it. Give us privacy for a few moments, dear. Recording mode only.
Yes, Lazarus.
Lazarus went on.
Ira, I wish you had answered yes, because the only other explanation is one I do not like. I ain't pretty, and my manners are not such as to endear me to women. So what do we have left? The fact that I am the oldest man alive? Women sell themselves for odd reasons and not always for money. Ira, I do not choose to stand at stud for pretty young things who would not waste a moment on me, save for the prestige of having a child by, quote, the senior, end of quote. He glared. Right?
Lazarus, you are being unjust to both women, as well as unusually obtuse.
How?
I've watched them. I think they both, love you. And don't give me any double talk about what that verb means. I am not Galahad.
But, oh, crap.
I won't argue on that basis. Crap is a subject in which you are the galaxy's top authority. Women do not always sell themselves, and they do fall in love, often for the oddest reasons. If reason is a word that can apply. Granted that you are ugly, selfish, self-centered, surly.
I'm aware of that.
To me. Nevertheless, women don't seem to care much how a man looks, and you are surprisingly gentle with women. I've noticed. You say those little whores on Mars all love that blind man.
Some of them weren't little. Big Anna was taller than I am and weighed more.
Don't try to change the subject. Why did they love him? Don't bother to answer. Why a woman loves a man, or a man loves a woman, can be rationalized only in survival terms, and the answer has no flavor. Unsatisfying. But, Lazarus, when you've completed rejuvenation and you and I have finished our Scheherazade bet, however we finish it, are you going away again? Lazarus brooded before answering.
I suppose so. Ira, this cottage and garden and stream that you've lent me are very nice. The times I've gone down to the city, I've hurried back, glad to be home. But it's just a resting place. I won't stay here. When the wild goose cries, I go.
Lazarus looked sad.
But I don't know where. And I don't want to repeat the things I've done. Perhaps Minerva will find that new thing for me. But it's time to move on.
Iris stood up. Lazarus, if you weren't so stinking suspicious and mean, you would give both women the benefit of the doubt and leave them each with child to remember you by. It wouldn't cost you much effort.
Out of the question. I do not abandon children or pregnant women.
Excuses. I will adopt in the womb any child you sire before you leave us. Shall I have Minerva place that in permanent and bind it?
I can support my own kids. Always have.
Minerva, transfer it and bind it.
Completed, Ira.
Thank you, best little nag. Same time tomorrow, Lazarus.
I suppose so. Yes. Call Hamadryad, will you, and ask her to come too? Tell her I ask you to. I don't want the kid's feelings hurt.
Sure, Gramp. Counterpoint. 4. On the level in the executive palace of Mr. Weatherall's private apartments, Hamadryad waited with Galahad while Ishtar left orders for the rejuvenation technicians on watch there. Then the three took transport down and across, still inside the palace,
to an apartment Ira had placed at Ishtar's disposal, a dwelling larger and more lavish than her quarters in the rejuvenation clinic, and much more luxurious than the penthouse cottage, save that it had no garden. It was intended for a trustee, or rather a VIP guest. Not that its luxury mattered much, as Ishtar and Galahad spent most of their time and took most of their meals with Lazarus, and used it mainly for sleeping. Minerva had placed a dozen odd lesser accommodations with Ishtar for her watch list, one of them for Galahad. He did not need it, and Ishtar had Minerva reassign it to Hamadryad, when she had become an unofficial part of the team caring for the senior. Hamadryad sometimes slept in it rather than go to her country home, without telling her father, as the chairman pro tem did not encourage members of his family to use palace quarters unnecessarily. Or she sometimes stayed with Ishtar and Galahad. This time all three went to Ishtar's apartment. They had matters to discuss. On arrival there, Ishtar checked. Minerva.
Listening, Ishtar.
Anything?
Lazarus and Ira are talking. Private conversation.
Keep me advised, dear.
Certainly, dear.
Ishtar turned back to the others. Who wants a drink or something? Too early for dinner. Or is it? Ham? Galahad answered. A bath for me, then a drink. I was all set for a dip, hot and sweaty, when Lazarus kicked us out.
And stinky,
Ishtar agreed. I noticed it in the transport. A bath wouldn't hurt you, big ass. You were exercising as hard as I was.
Regrettably true, my gallant knight. I was careful to sit downwind from our elders after that last match.
Ham, get us all something tall and cold while Stinky and I get clean.
Will you two settle for idleberry jolts or whatever is handy? While we all bathe?
I don't have the excuse of heavy exercise, but I broke out with fear stink when I put the proposal to Gramp and muffed it. After all your coaching, Ish, I'm sorry.
She started to sniffle. Ishtar put her arms around the younger woman.
There, there, dear, stop it. I don't think you muffed it.
He refused me.
You laid a good foundation and shook him up, which he needed. You startled me with your timing, but it will work out all right.
He probably won't even let me come back.
Yes, he will. Stop shaking. Come, dear. Galahad and I will give you a long, relaxing back rub. Stinky, fetch the fizz and join us in the shower room. Huh, with two women around, I have to work. Okay. When Galahad arrived with cold drinks, Ishtar had Hamadryad stretched out face down on the massage table. Ishtar looked up and said, Dear, before you get wet, see if there are three towel robes in the rack. I didn't check. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Right away, ma'am. Will that be all, ma'am? Plenty of robes. I dialed for more this morning. Don't bruise her. You don't know your own strength. I'm going to need her later. And I'm going to swap you for a dog, sweetheart, and sell the dog. Pass around those drinks, then come help. Or you won't get either of us later, if ever. We're busy agreeing that all males are beasts. She continued to massage gently, firmly, with professional skill, down Hamadryad's back, while the massage table matched her appropriately down the subject's front. She let Galahad hang a drink around her neck and place its nipple in her mouth without slowing her careful fingers. He snapped Hamadryad's drink to the table, placed nipple in her mouth, patted her cheek, then took the other side and started to help, following Ishtar's lead. The table changed action to match four hands. Some minutes later, he let the nipple for his drink retract and spoke. Ish, any chance that Gramp twigged about you two broads? We're not all that broad. At least, Ham is not. Broad is a usual English idiom for a female, and you said we should talk and think in English as long as we are on this commitment.
I simply said that Hamadryad is not very broad, even though she's had more children than I have, and I haven't had any since rejuvenation. But it's a colorful idiom. I like it. I don't see how Lazarus could guess that we are pregnant.
Not that it would matter if he did, in my case, except just how I am pregnant. And he can't know that, as I fudge the record on the source of the cloned cell. Ham, you haven't hinted anything to Lazarus, have you? Hamadryad surrendered her drink. Of course not. Minerva knows, Galahad said. Of course she does. I discussed it with her. But now you've got me wondering. Minerva! Listening, Ishtar. The computer added, Ira is leaving. Lazarus has come inside. No problems. Thank you, dear. Minerva, is there any possible way that Lazarus could know about Hamadryad and me? That we are pregnant, I mean. And why? And how? He has not said so, nor has anyone mentioned it in his presence. Evaluation of pertinent data available to me makes it probable by less than one part in 1,000. How about Ira? Less than one part in 10,000. Ishtar, when Ira told me to supply you with service and to assign you a restricted memory, he programmed me so that any later program will simply wipe your assigned box. Truly, there is no way for him to retrieve from your private memory file, nor can I self-program to get around it. Yes, so you assured me. But I don't know much about computers, Minerva. Minerva chuckled. Whereas I do. You could say that I have made a career of computers. Don't worry, dear. Your secrets are safe with me. Lazarus has just told me to order a light supper for him. Then he's going to bed. Good. Let me know what he eats, and how much, and when he goes to bed. Then call me if he wakes. Awake and alone at night, a man is at his lowest ebb. I must be ready to move quickly, but you know that. I shall watch his wave patterns, Ishtar. You will have 2 to 5 minutes warning, unless El Diablo jumps on his stomach. That damned cat. But being wakened that way doesn't depress him. It's his suicidal nightmares that worry me. I have about used up diversionary emergencies. I can't set fire to the penthouse a second time. Lazarus has not had one of his typical depression nightmares this month, Ishtar, and I know how to spot the wave sequences now. I'll be very careful. I know you will, dear. I wish we knew the incidents in his past from which each is derived. We might be able to wipe them. Ish, Galahad put in, you go tinkering with his memory and you might lose everything Ira is after. And I might save our client, too. You stick to back-rubbing, dear, and leave delicate work to Minerva and me. Anything more, Minerva? No. Yes. Ira is telling me to find Hamadryad. He wants to talk to her. Will she take the call? Sure, agreed Hamadryad, rolling over. But patch him in through you, Minerva. I won't go to the phone. I don't have my face on. Hamadryad? Yes, Ira? Message for you. Be nice to an old man and show up at the cottage as usual, will you? Better yet, get there early and have breakfast with him.
Are you sure he wants to see me?
He does. He shouldn't, after the way you embarrassed him. What possessed you, Ham? But this message is his idea, not mine. He wants to be sure he hasn't scared you off. She sighed with relief.
I'm not scared off if he will let me stay. Father, I told you I would devote as many days to this as he will permit. I meant it, and still mean it. In fact, I've told my manager that she can buy me out on long-term credit. That's how serious I am.
So, I'm very pleased. If you do, and want to cash out, the government, that is, will pick up the loan from you without discounting it. I've assigned unlimited credit to anything relating to the senior. Just tell Minerva.
Thank you, sir. I don't expect to need it, unless Grant gets tired of me and I see something else I want to invest in. But the business is prosperous. I may just let Priscilla support me in style for a few years. Quite prosperous. Bet you my assets exceed yours. Your private fortune, I mean.
Don't be silly, my silly daughter. As a private citizen, I'm almost a pauper. Whereas in my official capacity, I could confiscate your assets with just a word to Minerva, and no one would question it.
Except that you never would. You're sweet, Ira.
Huh?
You are. even if you can't remember the names of my children. I'm feeling very gay, Papa. You've made me happy. You called me Papa for...
You haven't called me Papa for, 50 or 60 years.
Because you've never encouraged intimacy once a child is grown, nor do I from mine. But this assignment has made me feel closer to you. Oh, shut up, sir. I'll be there early... But this assignment has made me feel closer to you. Oh, shut up, sir. I'll be there early tomorrow. Off?
One moment. I forgot to ask where you are.
If you're home...
I'm not.
I'm having a bath with Galahad and Ishtar. About to, that is. You interrupted a wonderful back rub they were giving me.
Sorry.
As you are still in the palace, I suggest that you stay. To be here early tomorrow. Beg a bed from them, or, if that is intruding, come to my apartments. We'll find something. Don't fret about me, Ira. If I can't shame them into keeping me overnight, Minerva will find me a bed. Truly, Lazarus' bed is the only one I've ever found impossible to get into. Maybe I need to apply for rejuve.
The chairman pro tem was slow in answering. Hamadryad, you were serious in proposing to have children by him, were you not?
Privacy, sir?
Sorry. A custom of privacy does not forbid me to say that I think it is a very good idea. If you tell me to, I will encourage it in any way I can.
Hamadryad looked at Ishtar and spread her hands in a gesture of, "What do I do now?" then answered, "His refusal seemed very firm, sir."
"Let me offer you a male viewpoint, my daughter. A man often refuses such a proposal when he wants to accept it. A man likes to be sure of a woman's motives and sincerity.
At a later time, he may accept.
I don't mean that you should nag him with it. That would not work. But if you want this, bide your time. You're a charming woman. I have confidence in you."
"Yes, sir. If he does give me a child, we would all be richer thereby, would we not?"
"Yes, certainly. But my motives are somewhat different. If he dies or leaves us, there is always the sperm bank and the tissue bank, neither of which he can touch, because I'll cheat if necessary. But I don't want him to die, Hamadryad, nor do I want him to leave soon. And I am not speaking from sentiment. The senior is unique. I've gone to much trouble not to waste him. Your presence pleases him. Your offer stimulates him, even though you feel he reacted badly.
You're helping to keep him alive. And if he eventually lets you have his child, you may succeed in keeping him alive a long time.
Indefinitely long."
Hamadryad wiggled with pleasure and smiled at Ishtar.
"Father, you make me feel proud."
"You have always been a daughter to be proud of, dear. Although I can't claim all the credit. Your mother is a most exceptional woman. Off now?"
"Off, with music playing. Good night, sir."
Without getting up, Hamadryad grabbed both her friends around their waists and hugged them tightly.
"Oh, I feel good."
"So get down off this table, narrow broad. It's my turn."
"You don't need a massage," Ishtar said firmly. "You've been under no emotional strain, and the hardest work you've done all day is to beat me 2 games of murder ball."
"But I'm the spiritual type, sensitive."
"So you are, dear Galahad. And now you can most spiritually help her down and help me bathe her, still most spiritually."
Galahad complied while complaining, "You two ought to bathe me instead. Pretend I'm a blind music maker." He closed his eyes and sang, "There's a cop around the corner who is sometimes not so friendly to a man who isn't holding or otherwise unlucky."
"That's me, unlucky. Or I wouldn't have to work with 2 women in the house. What cycle, Ish?"
"Relaxing, of course."
"Hamadir, since you let us hear that call, I assume that I can talk about it?"
"I agree with Ira. You have Lazarus sexually stimulated, whether he knows it or not. And if you can keep him that way, he won't be depressed."
"Is he truly that nearly recovered, Ishtar?"
Hamadryad asked while raising her arms and letting them work on her.
"He looks better, but I can't tell. His manner doesn't change."
"Oh, definitely. He started masturbating a month ago."
"Shampoo, dear?"
"He did? Really? Oh, that's wonderful. Do I need one? Oh, yes, I do. Thanks. So it's well to have a sister, or even an old uncle. Close your eyes, Hambone, baby. Shampoo mix coming. A client has no privacy with Ishtar. But she didn't tell me. I had to infer it from his graphs. Ish, why do I always wind up washing Ham's back?
Because you tickled, sweetheart. There was no need for you to know. But a client certainly has no privacy with Minerva to help, and that's as it should be. We need better computer service at the clinic. I now see. Although he does have privacy in its true sense, as all of this is covered by the oath, even though you are not regular staff, Ham, I'm sure you realize that.
Oh, certainly. Oh, not quite so hard, Galahad. Red-hot pincers could not make me talk other than to you two, not even to Ira. Ishtar, do you think I could learn to be a real rejuvenator?
If you feel a vocation for it and want to study that hard.
Let it rinse now, Galahad. You have the empathy, I'm sure. What's your index?
They're your friends, boy. Don't neglect them. Birthdays and Yom Kippur.
Genius minus, Hamadryad admitted.
Takes genius, Galahad said helpfully. As well as a compulsive need to work. She's a slave driver, Hammy baby. Also Christmas and Hanukkah, a card or even candy.
You're off key, dear. You're genius plus, Ham, slightly higher than Galahad's index. I looked it up just in case, and you did ask. I'm very pleased. Off key? Now you've gone too far. You have other virtues, my true knight. You need not be a troubadour. Hamadir, if you search your heart and really want it, you could be an associate technician by the time we migrate, if you intend to migrate. If not, the clinic here always needs staff. A true vocation is scarce. But I'd like, terribly, to have you with us. Both of us will help you.
Sure we will, Hammy. Off-key, indeed. Is this colony going to be polygamous?
Ask Ira. Does it matter?
Grab a robe and throw it around the hammer, darling. Then I'll trade a quick scrub with you. I'm hungry.
Do you want to risk it? After what you said about my singing? I know every spot and I'll tickle them all.
King's Cross. I apologize. I love your singing, dear.
The idiom is King's X-ish. Pax it is.
Grab robes for all of us, Hammy. That's a good girl.
Long legs while I was singing. Perfectly on key. I figured out that idiom that was bothering me. It's not what Minerva thought it was. A hook shop is a bordello, which makes the born loser's sister a hatira, and the last piece falls into place.
Why, of course. No wonder she could subsidize her brother. Artists always get paid more than anyone else.
Hamadryad returned with robes, laid them on the massage table. She said, I didn't know that idiom was bothering you, Galahad. I understood it the first time I heard that song.
I wish you had told me.
Is it important?
Only as one more clue. Ham, in analyzing a culture, its myths and folk songs and idioms and aphorisms are more basic than its formal history. You can't understand a person unless you understand her culture. His, I should say, in speaking English. And that alone tells something basic about the culture in which our client grew up. The fact that a general term invariably takes the masculine form when both masculine and feminine are implied. It means either that males are dominant or that women have just emerged from lower status. But the language lag, there always is one, has not caught up with the cultural change. The latter, in the barbarism Lazarus came from, as indicated by other clues.
You can tell all that just from a rule of grammar?
Sometimes. Hammy, I used to do this professionally, when I was old and grizzled and waiting for rejuvenation. It's detective work, and no one clue is ever enough. For example, women must not have reached equal status, even though other clues show them gaining it. For who ever heard of a bordello managed by a man? A guard in one, yes, and Lazarus said that he was that too. But manager? Preposterous by modern standards. Unless that colony on Mars was an atypical retrogression. It may have been, I don't know.
Continue it as we eat, kids. Mama is hungry.
Coming, Ishtar. Galahad, I understood that idiom without thinking about it. You see, my mother was, still is, a Hytera.
Really? There's a wild coincidence. So was mine. And so was Ishtar's. And we three wind up, all in rejuvenation work, and on the same client. Two numerically small professions. I wonder what the odds are against it.
Not too high, as both professions require strong empathy. But if you want to know, ask Minerva, advised Ishtar. And hand me that robe. I don't like blow-dry, and I don't want to get chilled while rustling food. Hammersweet, why don't you follow your mother's profession? With your beauty, you would be a star.
Hamadryad shrugged.
Oh, I know what I look like, but mother can snatch a man away from me just by lifting her little finger, except that I avoid the chance. Beauty has little to do with it. You saw a man turn me down just today. Lazarus himself told us what it takes to make a great artist, a spiritual quality a man can feel. My mother has it. I don't.
I follow your reasoning, Ishtar said as they went through her lounge into the buttery. There she screened the menu offered by the kitchen down below.
My mother has it, too. Not especially pretty, but what she has, men want. Still want, although she's retired.
Long legs, Galahad said, soberly.
You do all right. You've got it, too.
Thank you, my knight, but that's not true. I sometimes have it for one man, or two at most. And sometimes, not at all, as I can get buried in our profession and forget about sex. I told you how many years I had been celibate.
I wouldn't have found you, dear. Would never have risked 7 hours, had not our client had me so terribly emotional. Quite unprofessionally, Hamadryad. I was as silly as a schoolgirl on a warm spring night. But Galahad, Tamra, my mother, has it all the time and for anyone who needs her. Tamra never set a price. She didn't need to. They showered gifts on her. She's retired now and considering whether to rejuvenate again, but her fans won't leave her alone. She still gets endless offers.
Galahad said sorrowfully, "That's what I would like to be. But I'm that born loser. If a man tried that profession, he'd kill himself in a month."
In your case, Galahad, dear, it might take a little longer. But eat and restore your strength. We're going to put you in the middle of the bed tonight.
Does that mean I'm invited? Asked Hamadryad.
That's one way of putting it. A more accurate statement would be that I'm inviting myself. Galahad made it clear in the shower that his plans for the night include you, dear, but he didn't mention me.
Oh, he did, too. Anyhow, he's horny about you all the time. I can feel it.
He's horny. End of message and off. Will steaks and random garnish do, or do you each wish to choose? I don't feel imaginative.
Suits me, Ish. You should put Galahad under contract while he's groggy.
Privacy, dear.
Oh, sorry. I just blurted it out, because I'm so fond of you both.
Big arse bitch won't marry me, said Galahad. And me so good and pure and modest? Claims I tickle. Will you marry me, little Hamadir?
What? Galahad, you're the world's worst tease. You not only don't want me to, you know I'm committed to the senior even though he refused me, until Ish tells me to drop it, if she does.
Ishtar finished ordering, wiped the screen.
Galahad, don't tease our baby. I want both Hamadryad and me to be free of other contracts as long as either of us has any chance of getting our client interested in cohabitation, or progeny, or both. Not just a lark, but something he can take seriously.
So? Then why in the name of all the fertility gods did you arrange to have both of you pregnant at once?
I don't get it. I hear the word, but the figures won't add.
Because, my stupid darling, I don't dare wait. The director may come back any time.
But why you two? With maybe 10,000 healthy host mothers registered and available? And why two?
Dearest man, I'm sorry I said you were stupid. You aren't. You're just male. Hamadryad and I know exactly what risks we are taking, and why. We don't look pregnant, and won't for weeks yet. And if either of us can jockey Lazarus into a contract, an abortion takes 10 minutes,
professional host mothers won't do for this job. It has to be bellies over which I have some control, and women I trust utterly. Bad enough that I had to trust a gene surgeon and risk a prescribed procedure. Ira may have to get me out of that if anything slips. But you know as well as I do, sweet Galahad, that even an ordinary clone sometimes goes wild. I wish I had 4 female bellies I could use, and won't for weeks yet. And if either of us can jockey Lazarus into a contract, an abortion takes 10 minutes. Professional host mothers won't do for this job. It has to be bellies over which I have some control, and women I trust utterly. Bad enough that I had to trust a gene surgeon and risk a prescribed procedure. Ira may have to get me out of that if anything slips. But you know as well as I do, sweet Galahad, that even an ordinary clone sometimes goes wild. I wish I had 4 female bellies I could use, not 2. 8, 16. Increase the chances of getting 1 normal fetus. In another month, long before it shows, we'll know what we're carrying. If the odds fail both of us, well, I'm ready to start over again, and Hamadryad is too. As many times as necessary, Ishtar, I swore it. Ishtar patted her hand. We'll get a good one. Galahad, Lazarus is going to have his identical twin sister, I promise you. And once it is an accomplished fact, we'll hear no more talk of termination option switches, or leaving us, or anything. At least until she's woman tall. Ishtar? Yes, Hamadryad? If we both show normal fetuses a month from now, then you can abort, dear. You know that. No, I shan't. What's wrong with twins? Galahad blinked at her. Don't bother to answer, Ish. Let me give you the male angle. The man who can resist raising identical twin girls hasn't been born. And his name isn't Lazarus Long. Look, dears, is there anything at all, that can improve both your chances now? No, Ishtar repeated softly. No. We both test pregnant. That's all we can say or do now. Except pray. And I don't know how to pray. Then it's time we learned. Variations on a Theme, 5. Voices in the Dark. After Minerva ordered his evening meal for Lazarus, then supervised its service, the computer said, Is there anything else, sir? I guess not. Yes. Will you have dinner with me, Minerva?
Thank you, Lazarus. I accept.
Don't thank me. You're doing me a favor, m'lady. I'm moody tonight. Sit down, dear, and cheer me up. The computer's voice repositioned so that it appeared to come from the other side of the table where Lazarus sat, as if a flesh and blood were seated there.
Shall I construct an image, Lazarus?
Don't put yourself to the trouble, dear.
It's no trouble, Lazarus. I have ample spare capacity.
Now, Minerva, that hollow you made for me one night. Perfect, realistic, moved just like a flesh and blood, but it wasn't you. I know what you look like. Lower the lights and spot enough light on my plate to let me eat. Then I'll see you in the gloom without a hollow. The lighting readjusted so that the room was almost dark, save for a pool of light on chastely perfect tableware and napery in front of Lazarus. The contrast dazzled his eyes enough that he could not see across the table without peering. He did not peer. Minerva said,
What is my appearance, Lazarus?
Eh? He stopped to think. It fits your voice. It's a picture that has grown up in my mind without thinking about it, during the time we have been together. Dear, do you realize that we have been living together more intimately than husband and wife usually manage?
Perhaps I don't, Lazarus, since I cannot experience being a wife, but I am happy to be close to you.
Being a wife doesn't have too much to do with copulation, my dear. You've been a mother to my baby, Dora. Oh, I know that Ira stands first with you. But you're like that girl Olga I spoke of. You have so much to give that you can enrich more than one man. But I honor your loyalty to Ira. Your love for him, dear.
Thank you, Lazarus. But if I know what the word means, I love you too. And Dora.
I know you do. Both. You and I have no need to worry over words. We'll leave that to Hamadryad. Your appearance. You are tall. About as tall as Ishtar, but slender. Not skinny, just slender. Strong and well-muscled without being bulgy. You are not as broad in the hips as she is, but broad enough. Womanly. You're young, but a mature young woman, not a girl. Breasts much smaller than Ishtar's. More like Hamadryad's. You are handsome, rather than pretty. And you are rather solemn, except when one of your rare smiles lights up your face. Your hair is brown and straight, and you wear it long. But you don't fuss with it, other than to keep it clean and neat. Your eyes are brown and match your hair. You usually don't wear cosmetics, but you almost always wear some sort of clothing, simple clothing. You're not a clothes horse. Dress does not interest you that much. But you go naked only with persons you fully trust. A short list. That's all, I guess. I haven't tried to imagine details. This is just what grew in my mind. Oh, yes. You keep your nails, both hands and feet, short and clean. But you aren't fussy about it, or about anything. Neither dirt nor sweat bothers you, and you don't flinch at blood, even though you don't like it.
I am very pleased to know how I look, Lazarus.
Huh? Oh, fiddle, girl. That's my imagination living its own life.
That is how I look,
Minerva said firmly.
And I like it.
All right. Although you can be as dazzlingly beautiful as Hamadryad if you want to be.
No, I look just as you described me. I am a Martha, Lazarus, not her sister Mary.
Lazarus said, You surprise me. Yes, you are. You've read the Bible?
I have read everything in the Great Library. In one sense, I am the Library, Lazarus.
Yeah, should have realized it. How is the twinning process coming along? Going to be ready? Say if Ira gets a burr under his saddle and takes off in a hurry?
It is essentially complete, Lazarus. All my permanents, programs, and memories, and logics are twinned in Dora's number 4 hold. I run routine checks, an exercise by running the twinned parts parallel with me here under the palace. A tell me 6 times instead of my normal tell me 3 times method. I have found and corrected some open circuits that way. Minor factory defects, nothing I could not handle at once. You see, Lazarus, I treated it as a crash program, and did not depend on Turing processes to build most of my new me, as I would have had to build extensionals in Dora for that sole purpose, then remove them, say, for maintenance extensionals. That would have taken much time, of course, since I can't use computer speeds in manipulating mass. So instead I ordered all new blank memories and logic circuitry and had them installed in Dora by factory technicians. Much faster. Then I filled them and checked them.
Any trouble, dear?
No, Lazarus. Oh, Dora grumbled about dirty feet in her clean compartments. But it was just grumbling, as they worked clean room style. Lint-free coveralls and masks and gloves. And I required them to change in the airlock, not just before they entered her number 4. He felt her quick smile. Temporary sanitary facilities outside the ship, which caused the project engineer to grumble, as well as the shop steward.
I should think so. Wouldn't hurt Dora to activate a head.
Lazarus, as you pointed out, I will be, I hope, a passenger in Dora someday. So I have tried to become her friend. And we are friends. And I love her. And she is the only friend I have who is a computer. I don't want to jeopardize that by making a mess or permitting one to be made in my moving into her ship. She is, as you said, a neat housekeeper, and I am trying to be just as neat and show thereby that I respect her and appreciate the privilege of being a passenger in her. The engineer in charge and that talky shop steward had no reason to grumble. I specified all this in the contract. Change clothes in the lock. Leg urinals for all personnel inside. No eating, expectorating, or smoking in the ship. Go by the shortest route to number 4. No snooping elsewhere in the ship, which they could not, anyhow, as I asked Dora to keep all doors locked save that direct route, and I paid to have it done this way.
A pretty penny, I'm certain. Did Ira comment?
Ira does not bother with such matters, but I did not report costs to him. I charged it all to you, Lazarus.
Ho! Am I bankrupt?
No, sir. I paid it from the senior's unlimited drawing account. That seemed best to me, Lazarus, as the work was done in your ship. Perhaps they wonder why the senior wants a second computer of high capacity installed in his ship. I know the project engineer wondered. I snubbed him, firmly. But wonder is all they can do. The senior is not accountable to anyone. I hinted quite broadly that Mr. Chairman Pro Tem would be annoyed if anyone attempted to snoop into your affairs. Not that anyone can tell what a computer really is, just from looking at it. Even the manufacturer.
This manufacturer, low bidder?
Should I have placed it for bid, sir? Minerva sounded worried.
Hell no. If you had, I would have told you to tear it out and start over. Then we would have hunted for the best supplier. Minerva, my dear, once you leave here, it may be many years before you have any factory service. You'll have to maintain yourself, unless Ira can minister to a sick computer.
He can't.
You see? Dora is gold and platinum, where a cheaper computer is copper and aluminum. I hope your new carcass is just as expensive.
It is, Lazarus. My new me is even more reliable than my old me, and smaller and faster, as much of me, old me, is about a century old. The art has improved.
Must see what ought to be replaced in Dora, if anything.
Minerva made no comment. Lazarus said,
My dear, when you don't talk, it is louder than when you do. Have you been overhauling Dora?
I stockpiled some components, Lazarus, but Dora won't let herself be touched unless you order it.
Yeah, she hates to let a doctor poke around inside her. But if she needs it, she'll get it, under anesthesia. Minerva, it would be smart with two of you in the ship for Dora to carry your maintenance instructions in her permanents, and hers and yours, so that you can nurse each other.
Minerva answered simply, We have been waiting for you to tell us to do so, Lazarus.
You mean you have been waiting. It is not something Dora would think of. So now I'm telling you both, and let her hear my voice say so. Minerva, I wish you would get over being so humble with me. You should have proposed it. You think faster than I do by many orders of magnitude. I got flesh and blood limitations. How are you coming on, astrogation? Is she teaching you to pilot or balking?
Lazarus, I am now as skillful a pilot as she is. In my other me.
Like fun. You're a co-pilot. You're not a pilot until you've made a in-space jump unassisted. Even Dora gets jumpy before a jump, and she's made hundreds.
I stand corrected, Lazarus. I am a very highly trained co-pilot, but I am not afraid to do it if the time comes. I've rerun all of Dora's jumps in real time, and she tells me I know how.
You may have to someday if disaster hits. Ira isn't the pilot I am, I'm certain. With me no longer aboard, your new skill may save his life sometime. What else do you know? Heard any good ones lately?
I don't know, Lazarus. I've heard some stories, body ones, I believe, from listening to the technicians installing my twin, but I don't know that they are funny.
Don't bother. If it's a body story, I heard one like that at least 1,000 years back. Now the key question. How fast can you cut loose if Ira decides to jump? Assume a coup d'etat, and he's running for his life.
1/5 of a second, minus.
Huh? You're not pulling my leg. I mean, how long to put your whole personality aboard the Dora? Not leave anything behind, and not leave the computer here aware that she ever was Minerva. For anything less would not be fair to yourself, dear. The Minerva left behind would grieve.
Lazarus, I am speaking not from theory, but from experience, as I knew it was the critical aspect of this twinning. So once I dismissed the contractor and had twinned my permanents and logics and my running temporaries, I experimented, cautiously at first. I simply paralleled me, as I described to you. That's easy. I just have to balance the lag at each end and stay synchronous in real time. But I have to do that with my remote extensionals at all times, unused to it. Then I tried very cautiously, suppressing myself, first at the ship end, then at the palace end, with a self-programmed to revert to full twinning in 3 seconds. No trouble, Lazarus. Not even the first time. Now I can do it in less than 200 milliseconds, and run all checks to be certain that I have neglected nothing. I have done so 7 times since you asked that question. Did you notice a lag in my voice at times? Approximately 1,000-kilometer lag?
What? My dear, I am not a...